Blog Talk Radio.
All right, and people would see the falsehoods.
people would understand. It would be a beginning of the unveiling, or, if you will, the apocalypse, you know, and then it would progress rapidly, and time would suddenly start collapsing and speeding up to a tremendous point where now a day seems like an hour, you know, and a year seems like a week, you know. That's going to continue to happen right up until December 21st. And then there'll be a point where time and space will almost seem irrelevant to our lives as we merge into that, or as we, into the next dimension. Tonight I hope to be able to read, after I do this, I want to read a couple of new essays that I wrote regarding the transformation. They're on my website. It's about entering a new era and also wondering. And I wanted to start tonight's program with these remarkable prophecies, if you will. And in the sense that I aired these in 1999 to a very wide audience in Connecticut, I was very surprised at the response that I received from a number of people that I never expected that kind of response. One man told me that he actually cried when he heard this. And I said, oh. He said, I was so overwhelmed by that, by what you stated and what it was in these prophecies that I began to cry. And I said, well, and then there were others that just were floored by what I was saying. So I played that evening, and a number of people were relieved from just these words. And I guess, and I'm hoping to claim tonight, I wrote this 12 years ago. No, actually 13 years ago. Right about this, I channeled them right about this time, right around the same period. And I believe that it's odd that I'm doing this program now and venturing into this concept of women and femininity taking over the planet again. And this explains it. These are called the five prophecies. And they're actually five prophecies, and then a summation by a sixth goddess. It begins this way. First name, the first goddess is named El Sador. I am El Sador, spirit and daughter of the creative spirit of man. The first of five spirits who will speak to you. We have a clear message to deliver through our medium, L.A. Steel. I speak of the end time, which has not been disclosed to anyone. Nor will it be until the opening of the final seal. I speak for all who create and all who can imagine a new millennium of peace and promise for all men and women. I speak for all the legends of spirits and angels who watch over mankind and aid men and women in their life struggle. Have peace and faith and promise for the future, and fear not an oblivion or a fearful end of destruction on earth. See the new world as it should be, administered by the spirits of justice, mercy, love, and compassion. See the end times as a beginning, a beautiful, glorious new beginning, encompassed in love and fellowship, and see the new millennium as a place and time when spirits and angels may visit the earth and mingle in fellowship with mankind, to invite mankind into the divine world of high consciousness, where the great mysteries of life and death are unveiled, and all may live in freedom. A freedom of knowledge, interplanetary travel, a great world free of ignorance, bigotry, racism, and hatred, a world where each man is a brother and each woman a sister. This is the ideal for the new millennium. But it cannot be brought about by the world's acceptance of this ideal and humanity's acceptance and love for each other. But it can only be brought about, I misspoke, it can only be brought about by the world's acceptance of this ideal and humanity's acceptance and love for each other. Hatred, cruelty, thievery, fear, greed, pain, and misery must be eradicated from the minds of men and women and replaced by the thoughts of kindness, generosity, and goodwill towards all of mankind. Selfishness must be replaced by selflessness. These are the thoughts that must engage the minds and souls of men and women everywhere on the planet. These are the thoughts that will create the actions and change the planet Earth into the original state of Eden, where humanity will regain its innocence and evil will have no dominion. I leave you now with my blessings for the new millennium and hope that my message will be heard and understood and acted upon by all. The overspirit by all and the overspirit of the world. That's part of the second prophecy. But before I go to the second prophecy, I wanted to explain how Elsa Dora, who actually came as Elsa, came into my mind and started to communicate with me, and many conversations or communications, I should say, that I've had with her. And not so much now, but now I can explain that later on why. But more so then, in the initial stages, were mind-blowing, really, how these spirits were literally transformed into holographic images before me, and they gave me these remarkable messages, and I was overwhelmed, but at the same time I was able to develop a relationship with them, individual, and they became quite crazy, they became quite possessive real, you know, very real in manifestations and in communications and their in their assimilation, if you will, into this dimension, from this dimension into the next, and coming back, you know, and getting used to working in the third dimensional space-time continuum, you know, and understanding human beings from a third dimensional perspective of being me. And my explanations to them over time of how, you know, their questions to me, even though they knew everything so well, they knew me, they knew everything about the earth, everything about everybody, but it was the, how can I say, the privilege that they had as being divine beings, that they were unable to really understand fully the sufferings and the limitations of third dimensional existence. And with that, I wanted to go to the second prophecy, the spirit of Elva, the spirit of knowledge. Elva is the over spirit. I am the over spirit of the world. I record and identify each individual life on earth, each conversation, each deed, every grievance, every credit, every honor. All is recorded, interpreted, and preserved for the final judgment of mankind. I preserve the world, harmony, and peace. I encompass the known universe. There will be time in the future of man when all will know of me and those great spirits who administer this great work of divine knowledge and omnipotence. At this time, all on earth will be aware of us and converse with us as friends. We are the divine intercedents, earth's administrators. We combat the forces of evil that spread so rampantly. Our work and worry is greater now than ever before in the history of mankind. Yet our ability to identify and control the uprisings are more efficient as the knowledge of mankind increases. Technology is a gift from us to you, as fire was in all great discoveries. Each new gift must be delivered in its own time and developed with a sense of morality and responsibility. If you will accept who we are and that we are here to serve you rather than continually doubt our existence and fear us, we could bring the great new millennium to fruition. Together, we can make this world perfect for all who inhabit it. All will live by their art of living. Life will become an art, a poem, or painting, or music, or sculpture, or architecture. All will be craftsmen and artisans who create for the sheer joy and adoration of their own creative achievements. All will share their knowledge and be free of monetary restraints. Each will say, I give you my cherished work as a brother or sister, as you give me yours. Men and women and children will live in the spirit of the expanded consciousness, a universal mind and thought linked to the outreaches of the greatest human thoughts mingled with the divine, to be assimilated into the highest regions of consciousness. Here the veil will be lifted and all will be given access to the secrets of the cosmos. The universe will be open to your minds and all limitations will melt as a candle. Releasing the human spirit into the highest level of consciousness and imagination, into the sanctuary of God. This is our hope for the new millennium, when all can become one with us in mind and spirit. You will feel and see in the same way. But now you must know your true commonality and rid yourself of selfishness and evil thought. The abusiveness of your lives. Relax. Visualize that you, what you desire dearly, and it shall be yours. Visualize the university of mankind. Visualize a perfect world of health and love and peace, tranquility, art, and music from the greatness in each human being. Then the new millennium will flourish and establish the recreation of Eden. What was interesting about Elva was that as she introduced herself to me as the sister of Elsa Adora, I recognized her from some ancient statue, you know, or some statue, if you will, or some Roman statue, and some statue of knowledge. And she just was so stately, so beautiful, and so wonderfully sensual. And consider, if you will, someone who knows your thoughts before you know your own thoughts, you know, or knows what you're going to think, you know, before you think it. And that was her. I mean, she was the over-spirit of the world. When she tried to explain that to me, and I was, like, overwhelmed, and I wasn't sure how to fully acknowledge her other than as dream, you know. And though it wasn't, it was real. I was awake. I was wide awake when it came to me. I was in study, and I was, you know, suddenly I heard the voice and saw the image, and just as Elsa. But this was a next day. This was not the same day. These were all spaced out over a period of about a week or so as each one came to me. And I started to I saw them, and I said, how am I gonna, you know, how can I even prove that these people exist unless maybe if I drew them? I couldn't take pictures of them. I tried to take a picture with a Polaroid that I had, and it didn't take, didn't come out. The entity was definitely there, and I heard them speak, but of course they spoke to my mind, you know, directly, and the discourse was remarkable because I was able to ask them questions, and I was able to what I did is I wrote all of these discussions, if you will, down, and I have them in hundreds, thousands, possibly leaves of work that handwritten, you know. But I've been reluctant over the years to bring them up or to talk about them because they're maybe increasingly they were personal, but not just so that they were personal, but it didn't feel like the time was right to present them in a text that made sense, you know, even though I was self-conscious of them and so on. But when this came to me, it was so strongly presented to me that I was doing a television show and writing, and this was very important, and it was demanded of me by them to present this work, and I did. So, since I presented this 12 years ago to the public, I have no qualms about reading it now. If you could visualize Ella, just as you could visualize Asadora, imagine, for instance, with Elsa, imagine the most beautiful goddess, and the goddess of creation, of creativity, of man's creativity, Muse. But picture her in all her glory, and that's what I saw. But not in such a stately manner, but more in a personalized manner, in a human way that she communicated with me, like a woman would be talking to a man, but, you know, but as a friend and as a teacher, and that was the that's how I was introduced to Elsa, and Elva was the same way. Elva came to me again, and the following. Elsa was much more than she asked me that she wanted me to introduce her other sisters to me. And I said yes, you know, so I was open to that. So then the next day, Elsa appeared with Elva and introduced her to me. And Elva spoke to me, and I had marvelous conversations with her in dialogue, which I was able to write down, to understand who she was. And then our relationship became quite personal in time, where I felt such a almost an incredibly sensual attraction to these entities, if you will. And it was an interesting discussions that I had with them, trying to convince them of how beautiful they really were to a third dimensional eye, to a physical, and they laughed, and they thought that was quite charming, if you will. But nevertheless, I developed a strong spirit of love and appreciation for these entities that for these goddesses, if you will, and learned quite a bit about fourth dimensional existence from them. And the third prophecy is from the goddess of wisdom, spirit of wisdom, she called herself, and her name was Julia. Julia was the oldest of the three sisters. In fact, Julia laughs at her age. She states that she's actually the oldest of cold. And yet she was immortal, and she was beautiful. As a thing, like a middle-aged woman would look, you know, very well-kept, very soft features, but very acute in her wisdom and her knowledge and her remarkable ability to communicate. And I was just overwhelmed by her and fell in love with her, if you will, as I did with the others. But this particular one, Julia, spirit of wisdom, stated this. She says, "I am Julia, ancient spirit of past souls and civilization. I am the preserver of all that is of value to the generations of the future of mankind. I speak to you sternly and with less hope than my sisters. I speak from the wisdom of ages, and I speak from the misery, sorrow, pain, and suffering, and joy and ecstasy of human wisdom and emotion. I speak to you from all who have lived for eons and guided humanity. I speak for the earliest man and woman, and for the oldest and wisest sages. I speak for the mystics, prophets, and saints, the holy of holy, and the everlasting sun, and the faith and hope and love that has steadied the fate of the world. I am old, older than all you have ever known, but I am immortal and in spirit. My age and appearance is but an image of this time and place. Time is eternal, and only on earth has any meaning. Here it is structured into seconds and minutes and hours, but on the spiritual plane, time is eternal, as the past coexists with the present and future and is one. It is existence. It is life. It is an art created by the minds of God and man. short span of human years spent grudgingly in fear of aging. Our life as spirit is charged with energy and exhilaration for each particle of time we exist. We have no time for boredom or rest for our world, for our world is constantly generated with newness and ideas granted to us by the divine being, the great God, the living eternal master of all. As his administrators, he has granted us all the knowledge, wisdom, and capacity for power to preserve, educate, dictate, and resolve all human matters and affairs. All that is meant to be seen or heard or felt is preserved by those who experience. All great works of art and an appreciative ear or eye to preserve the beauty it has captured within the memory of the seer. The aged of all societies are the preservers of that world they live in. They pass on their wisdom and knowledge to the young. They pass on their art and literature and music so that the young will know and appreciate the progress of the past and appreciate the contributions of all who have passed into the spirit world. Be certain that no one dies. I am as old as the universe, created by the divine one's hand and granted the gift and station as the curator of humanity's past, present, and future achievements in the art and science and in the great thoughts of religion, philosophy, and social consciousness of man. I preserve and protect the greatness of mankind's achievements so none will be lost to the evil of darkness. I have recommended to God earnestly that your world merits saving, and with his intervention and our continued vigilance to preserve, protect, and defend humanity, the world can become the recreation of Eden. In wisdom, there is the greatest love. Humanity is loved by its creator and has blessings are showered, and his blessings are showered upon them always. Only with faith and knowledge can great wisdom be acquired by mankind, and there is enough evidence to prove mankind worthy of progression into the creation of a new Eden. There is great hope for the new millennium, and I have recommended that the last seal not be broken. She is the archivist. She is the essence of humanity. She is everything that we ever were that is good. She preserves it to record it and then to present it as evidence of our worthiness as a race, as a species of humanity to move into the next dimension, to transition into the fourth dimension where there we will become one with these people, with these overseers, with God, you know. And that's what she's saying. And that's what they all say. But I guess what became of the, what forced me to write this, and I didn't write it, I just came. It was nothing that I wrote. I take no credit for this, other than being a medium for it. And it was such a pleasurable experience because these goddesses, if you will, became such an integral part of my learning at that time. And my understanding and my research and directing me in ways that in areas that I knew little about but was forced to see and involve myself with. Plus, they gave me the great confidence to move forward in a very, very difficult environment their very difficult political environment, as well as a spiritually chaotic environment where the world was at odds. I mean, you've got to remember, this was 1999. In 2000, the election frauds and the political upheaval that developed was so vile and so in your face that we couldn't deny it. But yet, the whole world was denying it. The entire country denied it. And then all of a sudden, 9/11 happened. And then that blew up. And then everybody denied the involvement of the true people that involved the George Bush administration and so on. And I became so outraged at that period of time that I had to throw myself into the work that I did. Because I became an activist and guided by this commitment to these entities that said the world will go, you know, and to live up to these prophecies that I presented in 1999, in December of 1999, actually. It was New Year's Eve. It was actually New Year's Eve that my show aired that night. It was 9 o'clock, I believe, Eastern Standard Time. I have it on tape, you know. But what I wanted to say was, before I go into the next prophecy, I wanted to just state to the people to understand the incredible beauty of this particular goddess, the Julia. Okay. Of all four or five, that, and later there was seven who appeared before me that same year, actually, the following year. I'm reluctant to say this because it seems like unless you are a medium and unless you have experienced that incredible, that emotional, electric charge that you get from that communicating with the spiritual beings. You can't understand this, and you may never will. However, I'm asking you tonight to bear with these words and bear with me as I try to make it more real to you. And I hope that you will fall in love with these goddesses as well. And for the wonderful, wonderful words that they have given us and for the great work that they continue to do for us. My next, fourth prophecy is from Kalisandra. And Kalisandra is the spirit of youth. Kalisandra was introduced to me by Julia, actually, the spirit of wisdom and age, and the oldest sister of Kalisandra is the youngest sister. She is the youngest, and she represents the spirit of youth. She's beautiful. She is perpetually or immortally a read her words, and she can best describe herself. I am Kawasandra. I am the daughter of the great spirit of humanity. I am youth. I am more impulsive, more irresponsible, and prone to tantrums of anger. But it is my station in existence, and so I bear it for all who must endure at this station in their lives. I am not without freedom to choose my course of action, but I am without great experience, and my knowledge is limited to my capacity for learning. Each step I take toward fuller understanding of the universe and the mind of my Creator, the more I respect my great sister's spirits. They are tolerant of me and love me and guide me, but my impatience annoys them. I know that anger is silly. I hate to be angry. It solves nothing. Julia never gets angry. She just smiles a lot and always has an answer when I need one. I love Elsa Dora dearly. She says I am obstinate and stubborn at times and very careless. But she says that it is all part of being young. I hate things more than I should, maybe because I don't understand them yet. Like, why are males so stupid and irresponsible? Or at least most of them. They all seem like they could care less about what females think, especially my age. I have important thoughts too, even though I'm young. I think of new stuff all the time. Music, poetry, art, science, philosophy. Everyone tells me I think too much and don't give myself enough time to feel. Well, they say I react too quickly to situations and that I must accept change as the natural order of the universe. They tell me that all things change and are never static. Everything must change in order to grow and to reach their ultimate potential. So everything must change and adapt to change, or it will get swallowed up by it. Mortals have to accept change all the time, some good and bad, but spirits have more freedom. I know that young people get hurt the most. The mortal world is more dangerous and more cruel than the spirit world because people don't understand the greatness of God's plan, and evil is still very real in the universe. I ask that you listen to what I'm about to say. I am grateful to be alive as a spirit. I often wish I could experience mortal life and feel the way mortals do. Like, understand the feeling of sex, or drive a car, or watch TV, or go to a mall with friends and shop. Spirits don't do stuff like that. We go places, but to stars or moons, or get together and cruise the Milky Way. It's fun sometimes, but as a spirit we have a special knowledge and responsibility and must always be aware of our powers. Be happy you're alive and human. Live with the excitement of your sensations and the hope of its greater knowledge and wisdom to empower you to become great adults. See yourself maturing and becoming happier, prettier, healthier, and see the future as a place to be happier in, and you will love yourself and others and thrive in the new millennium. Well, that was quite wise for my immortal youth. And I was so surprised after I channeled that word how young, how innocent she was. But then it reminded me of how responsible so many teenagers, if you will, are, and children. If you give them responsibility, they take it, they understand, or they take it upon themselves to, you know, be responsible. So, but she's saying that she doesn't understand dimensional excitements that exist in a little her fourth dimensional reality or spiritual reality is far, far greater in its vast ability to understand things and cruise the universe as opposed to cruising the avenue, you know. But, I'll leave it at that and just explain to you that Alessandra was the embodiment of youth. Beautiful, stunning, precocious, joyful, just an absolute I can give you an image of her visual for every disc, but we're long and I want to make sure I have enough time. She was a very tall, not tall, I mean maybe she stood maybe 5'6" or 5'7". Dark hair. Beautiful features, piercing eyes, beautiful body, beautiful, and very quick and very sharp, and her. But once I got to understand her, she became the most human of all the goddesses. Let me read her. I am Mordina. I am the spirit of final judgment. I am the final judge of humanity. I am the executioner of death and destruction as ordered by the creator of all. I am all the faces of fear. Humanity has brought itself to the brink of destruction. I speak to you as a final warning. My voice has never been heard before by mankind. My actions are swift and permanent, and my methods are silent. All that is apparent, I must judge accordingly. There's crimes of humanity against each other and crimes against the planet Earth itself. The great material spirit of Earth cries. The great maternal spirit of Earth cries for justice against its destroyers. Humanity stands on the brink of destruction by its own greed and self-different interests, by excessive materialism, by evil worship of power and money. Your insensitivity towards each other, your hatreds and horrid crimes and abuses so cruel as to be inhuman. Excesses so great as to be gluttonous and insane. Neglect so severe as to be criminal, flagrant abuses of blasphemy and evil worship, bestiality and child pornography, heinous crimes against women and children, the slaughter of innocents and cruelty to domestic animals and wildlife, the unconscionable exploitation of natural resources and waste. Such obscene waste, the criminal waste of human talents, the cruel oppression of women, the flagrant abuses of weaponry and armaments, and the abuses of science beyond all reasonable levels of sanity, the great abuses of power, dictators, genocide, homicide, and suicide run rampant throughout the planet, countless crimes, countless atrocities. As the spirit of final judgment, I fear greatly for the fate of mankind. I am a prosecutor. My station is to discern the truth and execute sentence and determine leniency. I see little change for the better. I hold the last seal, and it is my argument for or against humanity that will decide its fate for the new millennium. Each child I see starving of malnutrition, and each adult I see waste precious time and money and resources, or commit cruel and inhumane acts of violence or bestial acts that reduce humanity to a lesser being than Earth's lowest life forms. This cannot go without retribution. I have a heavy responsibility, not only to the inhabitants of Earth, but to the universe that cries out for revenge and justice. I am responsible to others, to more advanced species, who could thrive on the planet Earth and preserve itself in care and restore the planet to health and well-being. Species that are more worthy of the bounty and beauty of the planet Earth and the preservation of its own great species. I must decide to rid the universe and the Earth of mankind for the promotion of a greater, more godlike species. This is my concern, my responsibility, and my argument. The final decision is that of our Creator. I am His prosecutor and executioner. My argument for humanity is weak. Only the great love of God can preserve humanity, and humanity's great love for their Creator. As all great parents, they must take care of their children, even to allow the demise of an ill, weak, or rebellious child for the love and safety of a good and holy one. This is my argument, but I do see some hope. Only if humanity changes now, repairs now, loves now, and makes restitution for its past crimes by forbidding those crimes or others to continue or go unpunished, only if humanity changes its path to the ways of light, goodness, and fellowship can the destruction of humanity be averted. Were it not for the remaining good of humanity, all would have perished by now. All would have been destroyed long ago. Unless mankind is willingly or whether willing to eradicate all on its planet who would commit these crimes, unless humanity directs its thoughts toward the conservation of their planet and the equality and full consideration of all souls by the total elimination of injustice, cruelty, and the abuse of human spirit, little hope can be promised for my eventual recommendation. I beseech all souls who inhabit the earth to listen to my warning. Unless great strides in all areas are made to correct and offset the advances of darkness and evil in your societies, my recommendation must be made for the advancement of all other life in the universe and for the sanctification, not the vilification, of all creation. And in the last few minutes, I think I can read this one. This is a little...
I was a spirit.
I was a perfect being. I was a perfect creature, but I picked the fruit. I gave it to Adam, and he ate the fruit and sinned against God for my sake. I have lost my equality with man, the curse from God. This curse has now been lifted. My slavery is at an end. God has shown me mercy and humbled my spirit to a servant of very shallow worthiness. But in the redemption of me, he also redeems all women and grants them equality with man in a full emancipation of spirit. I shall not be forgotten. I will not let this world forget me, for I have suffered far too long, and my daughters have suffered far too long to allow me to be forgotten. God knows my suffering as the mother to mankind, and I have lost my will to continue in this light. I cannot withstand his goodness. I cannot withstand his kindness. I cannot withstand his power and immensity. That he is my God and creator, and I am his creation. I understand that. And now my daughters will understand, and all will be healed. All scars, all pain, all sufferings will be forgotten as though they never happened. And I will not be forgotten nor remembered as the one who is responsible for my change. I listened to Satan and deceived. I listened and learned and loved him. He was all evil, all hate, all hurt, all pain, all suffering. In his loneliness, he needed a wife, but God refused him. He then stole Eve's soul. In my rebellion, I became his. In my innocence, I was too inexperienced to understand the agreement. In trade for knowledge, I would deceive. My need to outdo Adam became my obsession. I would not let him be and accept equality. I would not allow him to win at anything, and he would not let me. I am Eve, the hated wife of Adam, the hated wife of man. I bring him children. I bring him responsibility. I bring him discomfort. I bring him all that a man can hate. Now that I am renewed, I will bring him all that pleases him. And he, as my equal, will do the same for me. Do not be renounced by anyone for your new feelings of renewal. A sudden lightness of being, a strange carelessness, like you are in love, or at least in like with all around you. Let the world flourish in feminine love and kindness and all that is beautifully female. Rid the world of our horrid feelings and destroy the universe of hate and rebelliousness and enjoy the ride of life. I am free and equal and joyous and must not be things unjust, but true to my nature and true to my soul and true to all I created in a direct lineage. All who feel my freedom will shed theirs to all others, or will share theirs to all others, and I and you are in direct lineage into the future of mankind, until infinity, as this world spins into another universe, newly created by God. Now we will be caretakers. Now we will be the life and rebirth of generations to come, and that the newest generation reflects on its marvelous gifts from God, they will know why he is so pleased with us. The five goddesses are God's spiritual daughters, void of sin, yet perfectly knowledgeable of mankind's weaknesses and ills. They are the result of my request not to banish the spirit of woman, good and righteous spirit unweakened by the flesh. I am made immortal by all who have immortal by all who have suffered, and I brought the knowledge of pain and hatred to all the diseases known to man and animal. I am released. And now a total spirit, and so are the spirits of women free. I am not the world's woes now. I am their healer. I am the world's mother and provider and a devoted servant to God in equal status to man. I shall shall work to replenish the earth with all speed, and from this all will live. But my means shall be swift. They shall hurt some and benefit all. No one shall benefit more than another. My repair, and all will flourish beneath the world's magnificent foliage of God's love. And those were the final words of Eve. I'm going to go on just a little longer tonight. I think I should explain Eve from a vision that I had back in 97, I believe it was. It was very odd. Very odd circumstance that brought about the vision, but it was so intense and so vivid, so clear, that I, and oddly enough, the funny thing about it was that I had been prepared for that vision by a shamanic teacher. He was a friend of mine, and he studied witchcraft. He understood both black and white crafts. But the evening that I prepared for that, he said, he explained a bunch of interesting secrets about spiritual travel to me. And he prepared a which is basically a, I didn't prepare it, I mean, I just smoked it, but it was basically it was what witches used for centuries to travel, if you will, to spiritually travel. We smoked it, and I really didn't feel any strange effects at all. That was interesting. That was it. And then I drove home that evening. And it wasn't until the following day. And he told me that that the vision will come within 24 to 48 hours. And it did. Within 24 hours, the next day, I was, I had this vision. And it just knocked me out. I couldn't believe it. And I was taken into a large hollow tree, if you will. And it was into a forest. It was a dark forest. And I was led there by a guide. And the guide was a beautiful woman who was in a white robe. Sounds very iconic, but that's what it was. And she was probably in her 20s. And she took me. I mean, this is a spirit now. These were spirits. This was, obvious. But she took me into this large, it was almost like a large carved out sequoia tree that was fashioned in a remarkable way, and this opening was like almost like a birth canal. It was like, it was so bizarre, but I was drawn, I was pulled into this whispers and leading, as she led me through this and said, don't worry, just follow and follow. And it was like I was totally an out-of-body experience. I traveled with her, floated into this crevasse, this dark void, it seemed. But she was in white, and I could see her ahead of me. And she held my hand, and I floated into the place. And then we came into this huge hall, this huge it was all carved and out of the wood, and it was just a magnificent hall that held 3,000 or 4,000 spirits were in there, and they were all women, and they were all dressed in white, just like this woman was. And as I entered, there was a huge chorus. It was just a spiritual chorus. Like, my God, I was like in heaven. I was like I had descended into heaven. Of feminine voices that were so beautiful and so incredible that the sound to this day stays in my mind, how incredible it was. And I suddenly landed on the floor, like a hallway, but like a floor in the middle of this huge room with all of these women singing. And a guide led me to ahead, walked ahead of me and held me by the hand and kept me walking. As we walked, there was this door, this entry door, this magnificent molded wooden door that looked like it was just magnificent, but it was more like a, I mean, it sounds, it sounds weird, but it was shaped like, it was just shaped like an opening, beautiful opening, and we walked through it, and it was a dark area that led into a light area, and I was led to this woman, this I only saw her back, and she had this large cauldron in front of her, and she had this long shoulder wave to the length to her back, wild hair, dark hair, black hair. It was so Amazonian. It was just like primitive, but she was all dressed in black. But not in a dress or not in a gown. More like in, I don't know how to explain it. It's pants, I guess. But it all fit. You could see her. And she was actually, what it was is she was actually naked. And I saw only her back, but her hair was so wild, it was down, and she was she seemed like a primitive, but she spoke with such incredible eloquence. And I mean primitive in the sense that from behind she looked like, I don't know, like something I had sudden beauty, but her body was perfect. But the wildness of her, and then in that same room was this guide who led me, and there were two attendants to her, also dressed in white, and very beautiful and very, you know, ethereal, you know. And as I went in, guided, the guide said, "We are here." And she said, "Have him enter. Come closer to me." And she didn't turn around. And she was standing at this huge cauldron, iron cauldron, and looking into it. And I said, and there was a large, like a window to this place that looked out to infinity. It looked out to the night, but it looked out into the stars. It looked out into cosmic something. It was just a world, you know. It was as though this place was suspended in the center of the cosmos, and everything around us was cosmos and stars and darkness. But there was light from the fire in that room, and the huge fire underneath this cauldron. And there were, she was looking into the cauldron, and I came closer, and she said, without turning, she says, "Look at my world." And I didn't know what to say, and I looked into the cauldron. And what I saw in the cauldron was a reflection of the entire world on fire, and on oil spills, and all kinds of pollution, and all kinds of horrible things going on. And she says, "Look at my world." Or no, "Look at my child. Look at my child. And look at my children." And I went, wow. And he says, oh, everything horrid in the world was happening in this cauldron. It was like, oh my God. And I was shocked, and she says, "This must change. This must change. I will change this. I am now free to change this." And I didn't know what she was talking about. But then she turned to me. She turned around and looked at me. And she had the most piercing eyes, dark black eyes, dark brown eyes. But it was dark in there, sort of lighted by the fire. And her skin, her color was not black, but tan, like or mid-tone. Her hair was dark and thick and uncombed and unkept, and fell down around her hips. And she was beautiful. She was absolutely beautiful. And everything about her was sensual. And everything about her was earthy, if you will. And she said, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "No." And she said, "I am Eve." I said, "Huh." And I said, "Eve." She says, "I am the mother of man. I am the mother of earth." And I went, "Okay, lead me back up, Scotty," because I was really quite alarmed here. But then she had this quite calming effect. she left, and she said to one of her attendants, she says, "He is so much a man." And I didn't know what to make of that. And said, I understand what I saw, but I don't understand why I saw it, you know, or am I supposed to be some kind of messenger or something? And she says, yes. And I said, well, I don't understand how I'm supposed to be that, since I don't have any gifts or powers there. She said, you will. She said, you will have them. These doors will all open to you. I said, oh. I said, okay. Well, what do I do now? How do I get back? She said, just close your eyes and then open them again. And you are now opened to our world. She said, you will be opened to our world. Oh, wow. Okay. So you will be open to this message. You will be open to us. And meaning women. Or meaning, I guess, meaning Mother Earth. Meaning whatever. Well, it took me a while to figure out what that was. I guess I still haven't. But nevertheless, when I opened my eyes, I thought I'd bring that up to you tonight and take the risk of sounding out of my mind crazy. But if you've been following my work at all for the last number of years, you probably assumed that I am anyway. I figured I'm kind of a little off the wall here. But it's through this that you must understand. I'm saying this because I believe you have to understand that you have the potential of joining, welcoming these spirits into your life, into your mind, meeting with them, becoming friends with them, okay, becoming part of, allowing them to become part of you, your understanding of that we're about to, that we are now involved with, and that everybody in the world is involved with. But as I said, it'd be easier if you accept the fact that you're going there, all right, and open up to all the aid that's out there to get you there. And I hope this helps you. And I hope you guys just run out of there as interested as I did when I, it all happened to me a few years ago. So, good night, everybody, and I hope you have a great week. And I thank you for listening to last week's show. I hope as many of you listen to this one.